Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it is Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I are so happy that you've tuned in. So glad that you've chosen to make us a part of your day. And we trust, like Todd said in the introduction, that this will be a time of blessing for you. We want to be a blessing. We want to be an investment and not a liability. Isn't that wonderful? And God has graciously blessed me so that I can meet with you from time to time, just like we are via this radio program. So glad that you tuned in. And well, we just hope you enjoy the message. Hey, listen, sir. Listen, ma'am. If you're lost and undone, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, look, God has led you this way today to listen to this old country preacher. And if you're a backslider, if you've made a profession of faith, if you've made a start somewhere along the life journey that you've had and you have, and you're not where you used to be, ought to be, or want to be, need to be, God has led you to this place today. I've turned my Bible to the book of Numbers, chapter 23. I'm going to be reading the first ten verses out of this passage. After Debbie does this song, the title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
If it were not for His grace,
thank you, Debbie, for that song. How wonderful it is, if it were not for His grace. Thank God. Thank God, thank God for the grace of God. That was manifest in the Son of God, Mary's only, God's only begotten and Mary's virgin born. Thank you, Debbie, for that song. Well, like I told you, I've opened my Bible to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and I'm going to begin reading. Going to begin reading in verse 1 and listen to what the Word of God says about a strange character by the name of Balaam. He said, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars and prepare me seven oxen and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to me, or to meet me, and whatsoever He sheweth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared seven altars. I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. Now watch this. Well, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Now Balaam here, God through Balaam is talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about His chosen. He's talking about His elect. Those people that He delivered out of Egypt's bondage with the blood of the Lamb. Those people that had been under Calvary, if you will, when the brazen serpent was lifted up. In typology, it was Calvary. And listen to what He goes on to say. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Balaam asked Balak. Listen to what he said. Here's where I'm going to take my message from. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my latter end be like his. I'm going to talk to you today for a little while about dying in a mess. Dying in a mess. I'm going to tell you something, sir, ma'am. You're going to die. You don't have any choice in that. You don't have any choice at all in that. You're going to die. If you live long enough, you're going to die. The Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Look at Hebrews 9:27 says, I believe in the beginning God told Adam, He said, listen, to the day that you eat thereof from the fruit, him and Eve, the fruit that's in the midst of the garden, He said, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Paul tells us in the Romans chapter 5 that even those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam died. Listen, friend, death is a sure thing. You listen, the odd makers in Las Vegas and everywhere else in the world won't take any odds on death. You know what the percentage of death is? 1 out of 1. Do you hear me? I mean, it's 100%. But let me say something. Bless God, you can determine how you die. Do you hear me? There's some of you that are listening today. Some of you have tuned in by the divine fiat of an almighty God, by the leadership of the Spirit of God. Some of you listening today, your life is in a mess. And oh, sir, oh, ma'am, if you don't run to the throne of grace, if you don't run to God Almighty, that can deliver you and save you in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, you're going to die in a mess. I mean, your life is in a mess. You've lost about everything that you have except your life. You've lost or on the verge of losing your family. You've lost or on the verge of losing all of your integrity. You've lost or on the verge of losing all of your character. You've lost, friend, or on the verge of losing your position, your power, your prominence, whatever the case may be. And let me tell you why you are. It's because of the sin in your life. Oh, sin is such a disaster. Sin is just is such a dastardly master. Sin is such a deceiver. Oh, friend, listen. If not for the grace of God, you're going to die in a mess. there are a lot of people in the Word of God that we could use as illustrations that died in a mess. They had opportunity. They had privilege. They had ability, the same ability that any man, woman, boy, or girl has to get right with God. They had it, but they chose not to take it. They chose not to embrace it. They chose not to accept it. Oh, listen, sir. Listen, ma'am. I beg of you, by the grace of God, that you would hear the Spirit of God, that you would heed the Word of God. You're going to die, but you don't have to die in a mess. You say, preacher, you don't know my life. No, I don't. I don't need to know your life. I don't need to know where you've been. I don't need to know what's going on in your life. But here's what I need you to know. Bless God, if your life is in a mess, there is a God that's able to take care of it. The blood that His Son shed at Calvary, I'll tell you, is the remedy. It's the answer. Bless God, the Redeemer. I'm the one that can renew, revive, remake, remold, restore. Hey, His name is Jesus. He'll just bring your mess to Him. He'll clean it up. I think about Humpty Dumpty, who had a great fall. You know the problem of the Humpty Dumpty? I mean, the Bible said all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Well, I say the reason that it couldn't happen was that Humpty had all his pieces taken to the wrong king. If you take yours to the King of Kings, if you take yours to the Lord of Glory, the Lord of Lords, I'm telling you, put your life back together again. There was a man by the name of Balaam. Here he is in this passage. Oh, he was a strange man, one of the most unique men that I read after or read about as I read the Word of God. Oh, he had a gift. God spoke with him. God even spoke to him. He was known as a prophet. He had some sort of notoriety, if you will. Oh, he was a man that could give answers. But oh, listen, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter 2, in the book of Jude, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, it warns us about the era of Balaam, warns us about the wages of Balaam, it warns us about the way of Balaam. Oh, listen, friend, Balaam isn't the right kind of man to follow Balaam's philosophy, Balaam's doctrine, Balaam's way of life is the wrong way to do it. And when Balaam began to look at the people of God, look at that multitude that was down in that valley from where Balak, king of Moab, and Balaam, that prophet of Hire, was looking at the people of God. Hey, they just looked at part of them. They just looked at just a hinder part of them at one time and a third part of them maybe at another. And then they saw the whole bunch. And Balaam said, listen, Balak, I would to God that I could die the death of the righteous and my last end be like his. Isn't it sad? Balak and Balaam knew. Balaam knew, listen, that God had blessed the people that he had redeemed. Balaam knew that their sins were under the blood. Balaam knew that the grace of God was available. And he said, oh, if only I could die the death of the righteous and let my latter end be like him. He had knowledge, but he'd done nothing about it. He could have sought the God of Israel. He could have sought the grace of God. He could have sought the redemption, the atonement. He could have sought, friend, listen, to be brought in under the covenants of an almighty God. And yet he chose not to. You say, why? Because he loved the wages of sin. You hear? He loved the wages of sin. Oh, isn't it sad? Balaam knew that he could have the right kind of death. But all Balaam's life ended in a mess. Oh, it ended in a mess. Balaam taught Balak how to intrude into God's plan for His people, how to cause them to sin so God Himself would judge His people, would challenge chastised his own. But oh, Balaam never did get right with God. Balaam, when he died in a mess. Isn't that sad? There's a man in the New Testament by the name of Judas Iscariot. Oh, he's a unique man too, is he not? Hey, this man, listen. This man had a part of the bishopric. A part in the apostolic calling. After the night of Jesus' prayer, before He chose His 12 disciples out of the midst of a multitude, He called for Judas Iscariot. Oh, the only one that was from Judah, the only one that was from the area of Jerusalem. Everyone else was from the Galilee. Everyone else was away from that city that the Bible refers to as Sodom and Gomorrah. Away from that city where religion had become just a ritual place where the law kept them from knowing the God that gave the law. Isn't that amazing? And it wasn't the law of God that kept them from that. It was the law of man, the tradition of man, the ideas that man had about the law. It has been taught me and set forth that Judas Iscariot may have been a son of a priest, and he may have come from a city known as Kerioth. But although I don't know much about him, I know that for two and a half to three years, he walked with Jesus like the other 11, like Peter and James and John did. He heard the teaching of Jesus. He watched the miracles performed by Jesus. Why, he even was a man that held the bag for the apostles, held the money for those that he traveled with and communed with and interacted with. They didn't know what was really in the heart of Judas Iscariot. But Jesus did. John, writing after all the events of the gospel, after Matthew, Mark, and Luke had recorded their account of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he said this, that Judas was a devil from the beginning. Have not I chosen you, Jesus said, and one of you is a devil, or is the devil. Isn't that an amazing thing? Ah, Judas Iscariot had a great opportunity. Oh, he had been given great opportunity and responsibility. He even performed miracles. He even preached the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, he saw the dead raised to life, the blind made to see, the deaf made to hear, and the lame made to walk, the hungry filled, all the elements of the sea being controlled by Jesus, even the elements of the air being controlled by Jesus, and yet, he died in a mess. The Bible tells us that Judas Iscariot, he covenanted or made a contract with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the high priest there down in Jerusalem so that he could betray Jesus. Like the prophet who was at Zacharias said, for 30 pieces of silver he conveyed to them to deliver Jesus to them. On the night before our Savior's crucifixion, it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, after he had prayed three times, after that his sweat became as great drops of blood. After that he said, not my will be done, but thine, O Lord. How Judas came leading a great number of soldiers from the Sanhedrin with swords and with staves and with spears. And when they got there to where Jesus was in that wine press, crying out to Almighty God, submitting to the will of God, he came and kissed Jesus on the cheek, and he said, "Hail, Master." Oh, that's when they arrested Jesus and led him away to trial and to abuse and to crucifixion. And oh, listen, when Judas saw what was going on with Jesus, the Bible said that he said, "Oh, I have betrayed innocent blood." Now there are some kind of mysterious things about Judas that I don't understand. When he kissed Jesus on the cheek, Jesus said, friend, wherefore art thou come? I believe with all of my heart, though somebody had to betray Jesus, so though somebody had to be the one to fulfill the prophecy, wasn't it Jesus that cried out just hours later, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe Jesus was in that group. I believe when Jesus was suspended between the heaven and the earth, and when He shed His blood, I believe His blood was sufficient for a man by the name of Judas. But the Bible said when He saw He had betrayed innocent blood, He returned the 30 pieces of silver back to the high priest in the temple. And the Bible said He went out and hanged Himself. Oh, He died in a mess. And let me take it a little bit further. Matthew, I believe, what was it, Matthew that said He went out and hanged Himself? Over in the book of Acts, wasn't it Luke that said that that He fell in a field and His bowels gushed out? Oh, if that isn't a mess, I don't know what is. I don't know what your mess is, sir, ma'am. I don't know where you've been, what you've been doing. I don't know who you're with. But I'll tell you, I know this. I wouldn't be preaching this message if you weren't listening. I wouldn't be telling you, friend, that you can be delivered, that you can be saved. Oh, you don't have to die in a mess. There's a man by the name of Saul that had a great opportunity in life. He was chosen the first king of Israel. But you know how he died? He died in a mess. He died in a battle. By his own hand, all the enemies, the Philistines, had shot. And the archer had hit him and wounded him. And when he could not get his armor bearer to thrust him through with a sword, he took a sword and fell upon it. And that day, Saul and his three sons died on Mount Gilboa, Israel, lost a great battle to the enemies of Almighty God. Saul died in a mess. But you don't have to, sir. You don't have to, ma'am. There may be somebody listening to me that's contemplating suicide, ending it all. Oh, listen. Oh, listen, everyone that thirsteth, the Bible said, come to me and buy wine without price and milk without price, and satisfy your soul. Bless God, Jesus said, I am the water of life. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst again. A poor quotation of something that's mighty. Why, look, there was a man by the name of Samson in Judges chapter 16. Oh, he was a mighty man, a powerful man, a chosen man. But he was a man with a she problem. He broke the three covenant vows of the Nazarite. And after he broke the third one, listen, oh, his enemy put out his eyes. He began to, under captivity, grind at the mill. They made sport of this man who had carried the gates of Gaza several miles away. This man who had won great victory against the enemy of God and his people, the Philistines, but all because of sin. It took his sight, took the very thing that enabled him and helped him to lust like he did. But all as Samson was being made sport of, I believe Samson was doing some repenting. All the Bible tells us that his hair began to grow. And when he died, God blessed him in his death. Oh, look, sir. Listen, ma'am. You can be blessed in your death. You're going to die, but you don't have to die in a mess. You can die the death of the righteous. You can die in the will of God. You can die under the grace of the Almighty. You can die with your sins under the blood of Jesus. if you'll just go to Him. The Bible said about Judas Iscariot that when he saw he had betrayed innocent blood, he repented himself. Old Peter got in trouble, did he not? He denied. He knew the Lord three times. And once, listen, when Jesus and his eyes met according to Luke, bless God, he went out and wept bitterly. When it was told Hezekiah by Isaiah that he was going to die, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to weep bitterly. I'm telling you, sir, ma'am, you may not weep a tear. You may not lose a tear, but if you turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. Not sorry that I've gotten caught, but I'm sorry that my heart's exposed, that my heart's so sinful, that my life has been what it is. God, I want something new. I need to be delivered. I want you to save me. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that if I call on you, you'll save me like the Word of God says. And you know what God will do? God will save you today. Oh, run to Him now. Run to Him. Don't die in a mess. Let Him deliver you. Let Him clean up your life, your heart, your mind, your spirit. Let Him do something with your life, your family, your integrity, your character. Go to Him today. Don't die in a mess. Die in grace. Would you do that right now?
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.